Not one of those sons of bitches called me when they got the new gig. I was hanging on for dear life.
And now, it's time for FinCast.
Boom, shakalaka.
Wide receiver and fan favorite Brian Fennerin is talking Dirty Bird football. Powered by Scana Energy, the official natural gas partner of the Atlanta Falcons.
Looking for Fennerin, who leaps into the air, a touchdown.
FinCast starts now.
All right, Falcons fans, you are tuned into FinCast, and mercifully, the Falcons season is over. In what might be the worst, most miserable Falcons season for me personally as a fan to date,
wow.
Brian Fennerin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you doing, Tyler? Good.
Oh, and of course, can't forget Joe Virgin,
up,
our
Joe?
Producer behind the glass over here.
Hello, fellas.
And what a whirlwind couple days. So Falcons get blown out in New Orleans, which is just the worst place of all places to get blown out. And the worst loss to the Saints.
Most points ever given up to the Saints.
Aye.
And on a Bush League bullshit play at the end of the game.
Yes.
We interviewed Grady Jarrett today in the locker room.
Uh-huh.
And when I tell you, he will not soon forget what happened at the end of that game. When Jameis Winston comes in, he's told by his head coach to go to victory formation,
mm-hmm.
which signifies the end of a game
mm-hmm.
where the offense literally gets in a formation where quarterback's under center, two running backs right behind him, and a wide receiver is behind him, just in case they fumble the snap or something. And you take the snap and you take a knee.
Yep.
And you let the clock run out.
Yep.
What Jameis Winston and that offense decided to do was give Jamal Williams ball and rush it in for a touchdown, because that poor sap couldn't score a touchdown in the 104 snaps he took all season long. So really bad look, really bad job by Jameis Winston, the entire offense, Jamal Williams, and anybody else that was associated with that decision.
And Arthur Smith, in his last visible act as head coach of the Falcons, comes across the field screaming at Dennis Allen.
MFing Dennis Allen from across the field, which was a bad look as well.
And, you know, Dennis Allen didn't have a chance to explain it,
correct,
tell him what was going on, and later said the press conference that Arthur Smith had the right to be mad.
Yeah.
Which he did. But just what a salt on the wound.
Perfect ending to a really bad football season, unfortunately.
Yeah, so much to talk about, and I guess that it wasn't just another losing season. Three straight seasons of 7-10 under Arthur Smith, but then at midnight o'clock on Black Monday, 2 minutes or 3 minutes into
12:02,
the alert comes across that the Falcons have parted ways with Arthur Smith.
Had to happen, right?
It did have to happen. But have you ever seen it be that?
Listen,
at that time of night or time of morning? Or
they got back from their trip. They met with Arthur. They met with Terry Fontenot. They met with Rich McKay and Arthur Blank. And they made that decision and decided to make it public when everybody was sleeping, which I don't have a problem with. I mean, they probably talked about it for hours and knew it was coming.
Yeah.
But made it public after that. So it had to happen. The offense was inept. He was hired because his offense in Tennessee was number one in the world in red zone efficiency.
And it was the opposite here.
And it was about the exact opposite here.
Yeah.
And you counted on Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heinicke, for that matter, carrying your offense mm-hmm. to the promised land. And they couldn't do it. And there's other things that went into this as well. You can't lose, as Arthur Blank said yesterday in the press conference. They lost to some bad teams.
Yep.
They lost to some really bad football teams, Carolina and Washington, to mention a few. And you can't do that. Not with the losing seasons we had already. 7-10, 7-10.
Vikings, Cardinals.
Another 7-10 season. Three losing seasons in a row. Vikings, Cardinals, Washington Commanders, and Carolina. You cannot lose those games to those football teams and expect to keep your job when you already had two losing seasons in a row.
And during the press conference yesterday, there's a lot of things to touch on. I mean, wow, there was a lot to take away from the press conference yesterday, and a lot that was surprising, a lot that wasn't surprising. And what was your main takeaway when Rich McKay and Arthur Smith addressed the media yesterday? There were some good questions, and there was not many answers, but I think that there was a lot of things to divine off of how and what they said beyond just their answers.
I think, first and foremost, the, what do you call it, hierarchy in the building became fairly evident.
Yes.
That both the head coach and the general manager report to Rich McKay.
Yes.
And then he will relay that information to Arthur Blank. So it was strange in that sense that the head coach doesn't report to the general manager, who reports to CEO Rich McKay.
That was my main takeaway too. And that seems so weird to me. And I've never been in a building like that. I've never played. When you were playing for the Falcons, was that the way it was?
It's a good question.
Because you played under two different owners, too.
I had two different owners, three different GMs, and four different head coaches in my career in Atlanta. And the only time I think it was somewhat like that was my last 3 years with Mike Smith and Thomas Dimitroff, where both guys were hired separately, and the general manager did not hire that head coach. So other than that, I think the GM hired the coach.
Yeah.
So a little bit, I guess, and it was
which
always
stand to reason, because once Mike Smith was let go, then Thomas Dimitroff was still on. So
yeah, he
on
was.
Board.
In Thomas Dimitroff's case there, he said that most general managers in the NFL get two head coaching hires.
Right.
So I don't know what that means for Terry Fontenot, because he has zero so far. And apparently he's not going to hire this one either.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
And the fact he wasn't in the building even, and they were like, oh, he's got, you know, I thought what they were saying was, it seemed genuine. Now, how much I believe it, I don't know, but they were saying that, look, we can't all be everywhere at once, and there's a lot going on today with the changing of the guards and everything. He's mm-hmm. back at Flowery Branch handling a lot of stuff, and that makes a lot of sense to me, but as a few people pointed out both yesterday on and Chuck and Chernoff and this morning was, do you know, even if that's completely true and you 100% intend to retain him, don't you understand the optics of that? What that looks like?
Right.
It looks like why should even we take anything Terry Fontenot says or does take it seriously?
I know.
And then what does that say to a head coach coming in? And we'll get to this on the next coach, but what does that say to them?
I don't know. I really don't. I think it's a shame for Terry Fontenot. I hope that he has a big say in the next head coach hire, because they have to work hand in hand to build a football team together.
Right.
To get the right players in the right positions, get the right free agents to build a defense and an offense. So I'd like to think that it's not exactly how we kind of foresee it happening because of what we heard yesterday. And I'd like to think that Terry Fontenot has a little more power than what was alluded to in the press conference yesterday.
With a little more light shed on the management system, to pick one person to who to blame over the past three seasons, do you pick Arthur Smith? Do you pick QB? Do you pick Arthur Blank? Who do you pick?
Yeah, for me, it's Arthur Smith. I think the right guy was let go. I think when you come in and you go tight end, who's not really a tight end, he's like a receiver, then wide receiver at number eight. So tight end four, wide receiver eight, running back eight. So you picked offensive weapons, and then you've chosen Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder to run your offense. And it looks the way it looks.
And then not to mention Bijan Robinson. So for three straight years in your top 10 draft pick, you pick offensive skill positions.
Exactly.
And
so I think
they're barely featured.
We had that conversation during the season with Bijan not getting the rock enough, and then the tight end not getting. I think the tight end was hurt all year, and I wouldn't be surprised if we hear something about that in the next few weeks.
Right.
The wide receiver was decent. He had 69 catches. I think he had 70-something last year. So he's a nice football player. I don't think he's a legit number one, but he's a really good wide receiver. So,
yeah, that's not. I'm not even knocking the skill of the three of them, which you could have conversations about. But I just mean to say that, like, you go that way in three straight years and don't have a quarterback. I'm with Finn. That's where for the past 3 years the problem lies. So going back to that question of this strange hierarchy, right, within the Falcons organization, and we've only seen first-time head coaches since Arthur Blank has been the owner.
Right.
We'll now have some very interesting names that have been tossed around, Bill Belichick, Jim Harbaugh, and those two are not obviously first-time head coaches. And Rich McKay's answer yesterday is about, I'm paraphrasing whoever asked the question, was, we've only seen first-time head coaches. Do you immediately eliminate ones? He said, no, of course not. If, you know, you go the right direction at the end of the day, but, you know, you keep all your options open. I believe that.
Yeah.
But how does someone like Bill Belichick and even to some extent Jim Harbaugh, who has a pedigree of coaching, look at what could at certainly be argued dysfunction within the Falcons organization and at very least be argued a less than traditional management style, and how do they digest that? If, let's say, you know, for argument's sake, that those are just great answers for the Falcons and we want either of them, right? How do they digest that and go, do I want this job? These are the people I want to work for.
I heard Steve Weiss, who works with NFL Network and used to be here in Atlanta covering the Falcons.
Yep, AJC. And
he was on with Chuck and Chernoff yesterday afternoon, and he talked about this job opening being one of the top three that are going to be open this offseason.
Okay.
So I think people out there respect the job. They respect Arthur Blank as an owner. Arthur may not have been successful in hiring a handful of coaches, but he also got to a Super Bowl. He also got five winning seasons in a row with Mike Smith and that hire. You changed what this organization was about. Now, the last 6 years, you're kind of back to square one, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So the next coach has an opportunity to get you back to where you were with Smitty and get you back on that winning track with the right people in place, finding your quarterback. You can pick your own quarterback, right? You can go Justin Fields route and try to go for a trade, bring in a veteran free agent and draft a young kid, let him sit, draft a young kid and let him play right away. So the new coach has some things at his fingertips. You got a defense that's been rebuilt. You got some weapons and offense we just talked about.
Right.
I think it's a sexy job opportunity for some people.
Well, the roster is definitely better than the performance was this year.
No question.
100%.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And so you're right. That's a very good point.
It makes me think, do you bring in a defensive-minded guy where we've had the most success and an offensive coordinator that can do some of the offense? Or you bring in a young, up-and-coming offensive guy, I think it's Bobby Slowick, who was from that Shanahan tree.
Texans offensive coordinator.
Yes.
Thank you very much, who just is on his way to the postseason with a rookie quarterback, by the way, and a rookie head coach, so he's been there and understands what that's all about.
Or in offensive new names, a name we know, Todd Monken.
Yeah, Todd Monken in Baltimore.
At Baltimore, but formerly at Georgia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Frank Smith, offensive coordinator from the Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of new.
That one scares me because Mike McDaniels is calling all the plays down there.
Yes.
Johnson in Detroit is intriguing because he's calling plays legitimately.
I'm looking at the odds for the Falcons' next head coach.
All right, give them to me.
They have Frank Smith plus 350 as the favorite.
So that's a Miami OC.
Mm-hmm. Then Eric Bieniemy, Commanders offensive coordinator, was with the Chiefs for 9 years.
For the longest time. But his name every year for a decade has been thrown around, right? There has to be some rotten apple situation there.
Got some past you have to explain.
Yeah, I think for the longest time, he was underneath Andy Reid. And a lot of people, I think maybe it was portrayed this way or maybe it's real, didn't think he was calling the plays. So he had the offensive coordinator title.
Right.
But Andy Reid was calling the plays for the first 4 or 5 years he was up there. And then the last few years, he started calling the plays, and that was obvious. Now he got his own gig where there's no question he's calling the plays in Washington.
Right.
And they shit the bed. But they didn't have a great team, right? New ownership and everything else. So
passed for a whole lot of yards, though.
Yeah, they did. You're exactly right. And I don't think he interviews well. That was one of the conversations that was taking place the last few years about Bieniemy. I wouldn't mind Bieniemy. Frank Smith, is that what you said?
From
Frank Smith, from number, Miami. Number one betting odd favorite.
Makes me nervous.
For the reason you just said.
Yeah, Monken is interesting as well. So I don't know. I just want a guy in here that can change the culture a little bit. Here's what I want. A guy that can get in front of a microphone and talk to the fan base and people and media like a real person.
Yes.
Okay, not be arrogant, not talk to us like we're dummies, not be a curmudgeon. So
you want Bill Belichick?
No, I do not want Bill Belichick either.
He's the third favorite.
Yeah.
See, and
I don't see that. He's going to the Chargers.
But it's like I keep hearing on 680, multiple people have said it, when the Braves make a trade or do something, you never saw it coming. There's no leaks. Right. Multiple sources have said the Falcons are interested in Bill Belichick. Because of course they are, because Arthur Smith has been obsessed with the Patriots. Arthur Blank has been obsessed with the Patriots way for so long. That's why he hired Thomas Dimitroff originally. We want that high-flying, high-powered offense, right, with Julio Jones and stuff. But I just, there's a feeling in the back of my gut that says that's what's going to happen, and it's going to be awful. What do you think? Why don't you want Bill Belichick?
Bill Belichick has done nothing since Tom Brady left. Mm-hmm. He's old. He is set in his ways. He is a curmudgeon.
Yep.
And was on the other side of the worst loss in the history of the franchise. So what the hell you want? What else do you need?
Yep.
I don't think he wants this job because he wants total control.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get that with the Falcons. No.
What do you think about Jim Harbaugh?
I don't mind Jim. I thought he did a great job in San Francisco when he was there. I have visions of a Jim Harbaugh-Justin Fields marriage here in Atlanta.
That would be interesting.
That could be kind of fun with the things he did with Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
Three straight NFC title games.
Yep.
So,
and two Super Bowl appearances, right?
Was it two or one? I know one against his brother.
There was the Harbaugh Bowl, right, where the Ravens won, and there was one against Seattle, right? Just one?
No, not
just
Seattle.
One.
Because
Seattle was against Denver.
There you go.
Okay. For some reason, I thought that I remember
Baltimore, it was Baltimore.
It was just Baltimore.
Okay, it was just the Baltimore.
It was my brothers.
My brother.
And was that Joe Flacco quarterback back then?
Of course, back
in the playoffs again.
Brother's got a
hug. Mr. Elite.
So if you mentioned one of the options for that way they could go at quarterback is sign a veteran free agent. Who do we have in the veteran free agent market?
It's a good question. Kirk Cousins jumps out at me right away.
And it was Ryan Tannehill.
Tannehill is another guy, but no thank you.
Yeah, so no thank
Cousins
you.
Cousins was the one that jumped out right away. But in all, I'd rather get this thing started.
Yes.
Get this party started. Either trading for Justin Fields, which is not my number one deal, or finding a guy in the draft that can come and play.
All right, right to away. That then. We'll be drafting, it's not set, right? Or is
number
it?
Number 8, yes.
It is, it's set at number 8. So we'll be drafting number 8. I have seen ones that had it, us at 8 drafting Michael Penix Jr., and I'd be fine with that. What do you think? What would you do? You've got all the decisions and stuff in your in the palm of your hand. You're the owner, GM, all of it, Finn. What would you do this year?
You need a quarterback, so you either got to move up a couple spots and get a guy you like.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels right now is slotted at number 3 to the Patriots. Drake May at number 2 to the Commanders. And Caleb Williams to the Bears, who have Carolina's first pick overall and the 9th pick overall. So
right.
What would I do?
Yes.
Michael Penix is falling to you right now at number 8. I don't know if I like that move. He's a talented, talented kid.
Yes, but you're worried about injury.
I'm worried about injury. Worried about what I saw last night in the national title game.
Right.
When he looked uncomfortable and got bothered a lot and banged up again. But listen, this is the whole thing's a crapshoot, dude. Let them do their stuff. Figure it out. The first 3 guys off the board, if you want one of those guys in Caleb Williams, Drake May, or Jaden Daniels, and you want to go get them, or they fall to you somehow, some way, I would
There's
not
no
be,
way those 3 are falling all the way to 8. So you're going to have to trade up to at least number 3, right?
I believe so, yes.
So that's you're going to have to give away a lot.
Yeah, especially for quarterbacks. You're talking about your first round, swapping first round picks this year, giving up your first rounder next year, and maybe a second, and maybe something else after that.
Plus Kyle Pitts. I don't Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts, throw him in the mix.
I would happily throw in Kyle Pitts
but
instead
listen,
of a draft.
Be gone.
Listen, I don't hate Kyle Pitts.
I don't either. But
I don't love what he did this year. I don't love the system they tried to put him in. Matt Ryan got the kid 1,000 yards his rookie year.
Yes,
so he's
Matt
capable.
Ryan did. A right. should-be Hall of Famer Matt Ryan did.
Right.
And we don't have anything proven. Even if we get one of these 4 guys and they're fantastic, they're still not a
right,
seasoned
yeah.
Hall of Fame veteran, should be Hall of Famer, Matt Ryan.
Right.
But the point is Matt Ryan was, in Tom Brady, of course, is the penultimate example of this, is a quarterback who makes the people around him better.
No
right?
doubt. No doubt.
All those Super Bowl championships that Tom Brady got, those were not because of great wide receivers. Those were because of good to very good wide receivers that Tom Brady made good. That's what a great quarterback does. Right? You don't need
yes.
you don't need yeah. a weapon like Kyle Pitts, even at his best. So I'm fine. Plus,
so
we use Jonnu Smith more this year anyway.
That is true. So you got Kyle Pitts on the trade block?
Hell yeah.
Trade bait?
Hell yes.
Interesting.
Hell yes. Still in his rookie contract.
Oh, my God.
And
so
first
after
round,
this season,
yeah.
you have to pick up his 5th-year option this offseason before March 17th or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Do you do it? Tight end. Listen, you got one
yes.
more year with him, and a very nice deal, and then the 5th year would be like $10 million.
Yeah.
As opposed to a receiver who's like 18, 17, or 18.
As long as he doesn't show any regression from this year, then yes, I would pick it up.
All right.
Yeah. He's, it, like
yeah,
I said,
I
don't hate him.
Too, but after that, I'm not giving him long term, I don't think.
Yeah,
unless
no.
he goes crazy in the next 2
unless
years.
Unless he goes crazy. Yeah, exactly. But I just think he was Vic Beasley 2.0.
Mm.
It's good, all the talent in the world, maybe just doesn't love the game.
Maybe. Maybe he was hurt. Do not.
Maybe he was hurt. That's what I'm saying, maybe.
I think he's hurt. I'm going with hurt and come back next year and be better.
Okay, so any final thoughts? I'm a little exhausted.
Me too.
I want to trade for Justin Fields. We won't have to give up our first round pick. Maybe a first round pick next year, but a second round pick.
No, I think
and
I've
a third
heard
round
second
pick.
And third round
pick. Second and third round pick. We pick up one of the good offensive tackles, either Joe Alt, hopefully Fashunu, or J.C. Latham. Boost up our line a little bit. It's really good. We have the weapons. We need a coach.
Well, to Finn's point, we're not that far off
no,
from being. We should have won this division this year.
Justin Fields would
even
come
with
in
mediocre
and make
record,
this team a 10-win team.
By the way,
yes,
home team was on my show with me in the locker room.
Yep.
6'8" of the fan. He said he went through some of Justin Fields' numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They are disturbing, to say the least.
In what sense?
In the sense that he disrespects the hell out of the football.
Oh yeah,
38 fumbles.
Oh, my God.
In his career so far.
Ooh.
I'll get the exact number here in just a second.
What was that? Ooh, Joe.
That's tough.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
I don't care. He's a homer. I'm going to be real. He's fun to watch. I love watching Bears games.
He is fun to watch. That's true.
Justin Fields would put my ass in a seat. yeah, at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I get it. You're right. He's a fun player.
Yeah, and I don't
look
like
at what
talking.
DJ
he's got
Moore,
a brand.
Look at what DJ Moore did this year. He put up great numbers.
Yeah.
Imagine that as Drake London.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Is DJ Moore a
better
receiver? Here we
go. Three seasons.
I think they're about the same level.
Yeah.
DJ Moore is a nice player. Yeah.
I know what I'm saying. Really. Is he better than Drake London? Maybe.
Yeah, slightly. 12 games his rookie year, 15 games last year, 13 games this year. So
he's never even played a full season.
Thank you very much. So you have that. 40 total touchdowns passing, 30 interceptions, and 16 fumbles.
Oof.
Growing pains.
Fumbles.
Yeah. Growing pains.
Growing pains.
It is. It's concerning. So anyway, I like him. He's a sick athlete. You need the right coaching, the right players around him, who knows?
And, you know, I think Jim Harbaugh might be, as to your point, I think Jim Harbaugh might be would be a perfect head coach for Justin Fields. So, I don't know. I like that idea. All right. Well, the Falcon season is over, mercifully.
Yep.
And a whole change of everything and just a lot.
We're at it again. It's sad because you have to fire somebody. And, listen, it was funny. We were talking to Grady Jarrett today, and he was talking about how the coaches, he's gone, this will be his – the next coach will be his third, I believe.
Yeah.
So when Dan Quinn came in, they called Grady and said, "Hey, Grady, I'm excited to work with you, blah, 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 blah." Arthur Smith comes in, calls Grady Jarrett. "Hey, Grady, I'm Arthur Smith. I'm looking forward to meeting you. Let's get started and see if we can't do something." So he got calls from all the head coaches. And I was like, listen, I've been through 3 general managers, 2 owners, 4 head coaches, and not one of those sons of bitches called me when they got the new gig. I was hanging on for dear life every single time, dude. It is one of the most terrifying things when you get a new head coach because it's a new boss.
You're right, yeah.
Who does things differently and expects things done a certain right. way and wants a certain type of player. I was fortunate enough and good enough, I guess, to impress all those coaches and GMs that I got to stick around through 11 years with the Falcons. Not one of those bastards called me, I can promise you that. So, but it was because I was able to play special teams, inside slot, outside receiver, Z, X. I could line up in the backfield. I could line up as a tight end. I was a punt returner. I was a backup kicker. I learned how to long snap. Whatever the hell I could do to stay on this football team,
you
I did.
You learned how to long snap?
I did. Absolutely. Man, Derek Rackley taught me how to long snap.
The human Swiss Army knife here.
So you're telling me Scotty Miller's shaking in his boots right now.
He's shaking in his boots. There's no question about it.
All right, y'all. Well, we'll see what the offseason brings for FinCast. We'll try and do some fun, cool stuff in the offseason. And then maybe next week we'll come back and talk about a playoff picture and see what we got there. And then until I guess,
yeah, listen, appreciate you guys. It's a short stint for Joe, but glad to have you on board. It's fun to work with you. And then Tyler, appreciate you running the show here and leading the podcast, and another successful year for Scana Energy and FinCast, and looking forward to doing it again.
All right, guys, well, that's it for this season of official season of FinCast, this Falcons season of FinCast, and we'll see you next week and for a different conversation. Till then, go Falcons.
Rise up.
Call.
There it is. Chasing phantoms in a rolling box of steel. They beat each other for control of the wheel. Satan rides the waves of anger. Thank you for tuning in to FinCast. FinCast is brought to you by Scana Energy, the official natural gas partner of the Atlanta Falcons. FinCast is hosted by Brian Finneran and co-hosted by Tyler Nelson. Executive produced by Joe Virgin. FinCast is hosted by 680 The Fan and thepodcastpark.com. You can find FinCast wherever you listen to podcasts. Opening and closing credit song by Atlanta band Gringo Starr and their song, I Will Not Follow. We'll see you next week on FinCast.
Appreciate you, dog.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.